It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's winner-take-all time in the NBA and NHL, and FanDuel's giving you a shot to bring home a big win of your own. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to bet on spreads, money lines, player props, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make every playoff shot count. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Salt Lamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
And Maeda, a little hesitation, and a pitch lifted deep out to left field, and that one's back to the wall. It's gone! Semien sneaks one out over the fence in left field, and the Rangers get that first run of the ball game.
What a day, what a week. Dave Raymond with the call, Marcus Semien with the home run. That was the home run call of the day. The baseball isn't boring home run call, the call of the day. Congratulations, Dave. Congratulations to Marcus. Congratulations to everybody who subscribes to the podcast already. At BB isn't boring, at BB isn't boring, socials, Instagram, Twitter. And that's also probably the best way to find the way to subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe, pops up on your phone, you hit play, you are awash with great baseball conversation. And this great conversation overall. It's been a great week, and we're going to punctuate the weekday portion of the week with another great interview. I sat down with Chris Antonetti, the chief decision maker for the Cleveland Guardians. The Cleveland Guardians is a very, very timely podcast because it's Power Ranking Friday, and one of the most surprising ascensions in the Baseball Isn't Boring Power Ranking history, as we sit here right now, may be the Cleveland Guardians. I'm going to spoil it for producer Evan because he's on this podcast a little bit later explaining his picks. But Cleveland Guardians, number two in all of baseball. So what do we do at Baseball Isn't Boring when we have a team which number two that's risen to the top two in the power rankings? Well, we have on their main guy. In this case, it's Chris Antonetti. We talked to Chris about building this team, what the difference was, hiring Stephen Vogt after Tito Francona left, and what it's like to also, oh my goodness, life is so good, own the first overall pick in the draft. Congratulations to John McDonald for getting that on the draft lottery day. All right, we're going to start out with Chris Antonetti. Here you go. Remember, review, subscribe, rate, all the above, at BB Isn't Boring. Here's Chris.
Chris, first of all, congratulations. And every year is different. Every team's different. Every dynamic of baseball is different. When you go into this year, this offseason, all the years that you've done it, how did it feel different at all in terms of building this team?
I think each year is a little bit different based upon the personnel you have and where they are in
the life cycle and what the roster continuity looks like. And for us heading into this offseason, we really didn't have very many free agents. So a lot of the group that was here to finish the season last year, we expected to be key contributors for us this year. So we really tried to focus on how do we take the group, you know, we've been the youngest team in the American League now for 3 years running, including this year. How do we take the group that's here and try to help them collectively, individually improve and get better, and then hope, and then collectively take that next step? And that's where we spent a lot of our time this winter. It wasn't as much on the external acquisitions as it was on internal development.
You know, one of the things I always say is, you know, teams, while you're figuring things out, you want to have some certainty. There's no such thing as absolute certainty, but, you know, paying for certainty, you know, of maybe getting a veteran here, a veteran there. But the evolution of your team last year, did you feel like the certainty was, I don't know if I'm phrasing that right, but did you feel more confident that you knew what you had to compare to maybe the year before?
I think in certain pockets, you know, you have guys like Jose Ramirez where you've got a pretty good sense of what he's contributed, and, you know, Stephen Kwan has started to get to a point where you've got a good idea of what, you know, at least he's been so far, and hopefully again as a young player can build on that. But I think again what we were trying to do is how do we help this group that's so young get better? And one of the things that we need to do that is give them playing time and give them opportunities. And so one of the things we had to weigh a little bit this winter is we were considering acquisitions. If we brought someone in or signed a free agent, say a position player where it was 550 or 600 plate appearances, whose plate appearances would he be taking away from, and how would that negatively impact that player's development and contributions to our team moving forward?
You know, one of the things is I was talking to Cashy, and by the way, excellent job of preparing him for his interview.
Oh, I can't take much credit for that. So Cashy's a special guy.
I don't know, man. I sat right here talking to him about that. For 5 minutes, we talked about you guys prepared. But anyway, they got off to a good start last year, and we were talking, hey, okay, well, what's the secret sauce? Getting off to a good start in spring training, and you don't, I guess there really isn't, but you're off to a good start. Did you see it coming, I guess?
I don't know. Hopefully we've learned enough and been around long enough that to try to predict what's going to happen over 20 baseball games is a fool's errand. It's almost impossible to do. And if we knew how to win, you know, at a 60% or 70% clip for those periods, we'd do it throughout the course of the season, not just over 20 games. So it's been great to get off to a great start, but we know we have a lot of work left in front of us.
When you looked at this team, and you obviously, you a big part of it too as a new manager, and I know you've probably been asked about this a million times, so I apologize, but it's when you're looking for the right fit. I mean, obviously Tito is right. Tito would have been right fit for a lot of teams, but he was the right fit. I mean, it just was. And that's, I think, a big part of a manager in Major League Baseball. When you're looking for that fit, he's, like you said, you have a young team, they're growing. When you look at Steven, like, why was that the right fit?
Well, if you rewind back to the end of last year, I mean, it's a daunting task to think about hiring someone following Terry Francona. He, you know, he's a Hall of Fame caliber manager, an incredible person. He and I developed a great friendship and partnership over 11 plus years. And to think about that next chapter was daunting. But once we got past that, we tried to really be thoughtful about what is it that we as an organization need moving forward. And what we honed in on is ideally finding a leader who shared our beliefs, our vision, our values, that had an appreciation for who we are as an organization, but at the same time could bring new ideas, new energy to help us build on the foundation that's here and challenge us to get better in different ways. And it was really energizing to go through the process and talk with a number of extraordinary leaders throughout the game, and to ultimately hire Steven and bring him on board has been energizing for me. It's been energizing for our organization because we think we found that right person that has that appreciation for what we've been, but can also lead us moving forward in our next chapter. And we're thrilled to have him.
How long did it take you to get, you said you know he's moving on, you know you're going to have to replace him, and then you started thinking about exactly all the things you said. How long did it take for you to sort of zero in yourself of not necessarily the guy, but the fit?
Well, we didn't know Steven at the outset of this process, so we spent quite a bit of time on, you know, we had, a pretty rigorous interview process that involved questionnaires, Zoom interviews, in-person interviews, follow-up calls, but the biggest part for us was, you know, calling people around the game and understanding about the candidates and what they're like. And it was extraordinary when you call around the game and hear how people describe Steven as a leader, as a teammate, as a human being. And, you know, as we went through the process, we felt that that was the right decision for us, and we're elated that he's leading our organization.
I talked about Cashy. I mean, Cashy was, you know, a bullpen coach for you. Before that, he was, you know, a scout for the Blue Jays, certainly an outside-the-box sort of guy or perceived. Do you think that, and you know, Steven maybe is a little viewed that same way a little bit, but do you think that baseball is more accepting of it because of maybe successes? Like, I mean, it doesn't even matter if baseball accepts it, it's good or bad, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, again, I have enough challenge trying to figure out what makes sense for the Cleveland Guardians, let alone thinking about, like, what's the right thing for all 30 teams. But we felt it was the right thing for us, and we acknowledge, and Steven's the first to acknowledge, that he doesn't have a ton of coaching and manager reps in the seat. But he spent his life preparing for this, in the way in which he approached every game as a player, as a catcher, as a teammate. The times when he wasn't playing and injured, he was around great managers picking their brain, and he spent a lot of time thinking about leadership and culture and building a cohesive team. And you know, I think that's been evident to us in the early going. And again, like I said, he also has that great combination of self-confidence and experience that he earned as a player, but the humility to also know that he doesn't know everything, and he's constantly looking to learn and grow and be better tomorrow than he is today.
All right, I told you I wanted to ask a question, because this was, it's been in the last couple of weeks, but sort of a flurry of prospects getting called up. You've obviously over the years have had to make decisions about when to call a guy up. How do you view it? Like, how do you, this is all different ways to look at this, right? In terms of when is the right time to call a guy up, whether it's from Double A, Triple A, and has that changed over the last couple of years because of the acceptance maybe of younger players in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I'm not sure. There's no exact science, so to find the right time is really hard. I think the way we look at it is two factors. One, what does the Major League need and Major League opportunity? Who are the alternatives to take to fill that spot? And then where is the individual in his development? And one of the big things for us that we think is important is, has that player built the skill to overcome adversity? Has he experienced adversity in the minor leagues, had some struggles, and find a way to overcome them? Because inevitably at the major league level, you will be challenged. You're going to have adversity. You're going to have failure. And if you haven't yet built the skills to overcome that adversity, it can be really tough and be overwhelming within the major league.
That's a good answer. I'm not, you don't need to hear that from me, but I like that answer.
Well, I appreciate that.
And the last thing is the thanks to John McDonald, you're the first pick.
Yeah, that was a happy day.
Oh
my goodness!
When
we found out.
It was Johnny Mack's happiest day. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Other than the one day that he filled in the radio with me, how is that dynamic different for you? I know it's a few months off, but it's not every day you get a chance to do this.
No, it's not. Again, we try to be thoughtful about the diligence in our process for any pick, whether we're picking first or 18th or 23rd or 25th. So we're trying to, you know, stay somewhat consistent with how we've worked through that in the past. But now we have, you know, instead of having to worry what the 17 teams in front of you are going to do, we've got access.
What was the highest pick? I'm sorry, I shouldn't know this, but what was the highest pick you've had?
I think the highest pick we've had, we've picked in the top five once and in the top 10 twice in the last 20 years.
So, it's
uncharted territory for us. We've never had the number one pick.
Yeah. Are you excited?
I mean, it's an awesome.
That's a stupid question.
It's an awesome opportunity organizationally. So hopefully, you know, we're excited about the group of players that'll be there, and hopefully we make a not only a good selection with our pick, but just overall have an opportunity to infuse a lot of talent into the organization through the draft.
All right. Well, congratulations on everything, and congratulations on Mike Hazen calling you the fittest executive in baseball.
That's only because he couldn't name himself. So he's in great shape. So we'll have to race each other up Camelback.
Oh, I like that. There you go. All right. Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right. Really good to sit down with Chris. Always good to talk to the team presidents, the GMs, chief baseball officers, whoever they are. Always good to talk to them because you get the inside, the perspective, all the above. We've Mike Hazen, Derek Falvey, Craig Breslow, Alex Anthopoulos, you know, long list of guys. Long list of guys, Jerry DePoto, long list of guys we've sat down and talked to. And Chris hadn't been on the podcast before. Now he is. Now he's a friend of the program. All right. Speaking of friends of the program, there is these friends, also, there's also family. And producer Evan is family. Producer Evan comes through once again. I asked him, I said, hey, listen, can you do, not only do you power rankings this week, but can you do your own sort of explanations for him? I wasn't available to do him, to sit alongside of him, but he expertly went through each of the top 10, and explained what was what when it came to the power rankings. All right, it's Power Ranking Friday. Producer Evan, here you go.
All right, we are back with another edition of the weekly Power Rankings. It is April 19th. It is Friday, and you know what time it is. It's time for another edition of the Power Rankings. I am Producer Evan, and I'm riding solo this week, and I'm following up and part of a big episode with Cleveland Guardians President of Baseball Operations, Chris Andonetti, who gives a really good interview with Brad Foe, talking about all the latest and greatest with the Cleveland Guardians, a team that is super hot, with a brand new manager, with the first pick in the draft. I mean, everything is on the up and up in Cleveland. Unfortunately, it came at the cost of the Red Sox, but at the end of the day, it's Cleveland. It's time for Cleveland to celebrate, so we can't be too down about Boston. We got to give Cleveland some time to celebrate. But anyway, let's get right to it. At number 10, moving down three spots from last week, I have the Kansas City Royals, 12-7. They went 3-3 since the last ranking, 7-3 in the last 10. I couldn't bump them out because that 7-3 in the last 10 is a very strong last 10 games record. Granted, three losses came all pretty recently. They took 2 of 3 from the White Sox, but they only took 1 of 3 from the Mets. Obviously, my favorite team. Might be a little biased, as I've said. If you've listened to the power rankings at any time in the past, you know very well by now that I'm a Met fan. And the Mets kind of have gotten on a hot streak, and they actually bumped into my power rankings. Speaking of that, let's not waste any time on the Royals. At number 9, we got the New York Mets, baby. 5-1 since the last rankings, 8-2 in the last 10. They're 10-8 on the season, took 2 of 3 from the Royals, swept the Pirates, swept them right out of the power rankings. The New York Mets are back, and I've never been more excited to talk about this team. We got all the guys we didn't think would do anything performing like crazy. We got all of our regulars, and actually, surprisingly enough, most of our regulars, a la Pete Alonso, Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor, have kind of been on the rough side. They haven't been doing too well, but Harrison Bader, Tyrone Taylor, Reed Garrett, a guy who I never thought I'd be saying is a stud, is a stud. So the Mets have been playing out of their mind. I think this might be one of the first times, if not the first time, they've ever been in my power rankings. It might also be the last time. But as for right now, as of April 19th, I am so excited to have the Mets in at number 9 of the power rankings. I couldn't do anybody else dirty considering the fact that the Mets are 10-8, but at the same time, I couldn't leave them out. The Mets are red hot. They beat up on the Royals, who I have at number 10. They beat up on the Pirates, who I knocked them out of the power rankings. They were at number 8 last week. They're now not ranked at all. They're not in the top 10. They might be, I don't know. If we went past 10, they'd probably be right under 10, but they're no longer in the rankings in terms of our top 10. At number 8, another not ranked team that's gotten red hot, the Chicago Cubs. They weren't in last week. They're 11-7, 4-2 since last ranking, 6-4 in the last 10. They took 2 of 3 from the Mariners and 2 of 3 from the D-backs. So the Cubs, many thought that the Cubs were going to spend a lot more than they did this offseason. But as it turns out, they may have spent not as much, but on the right guys. Shota Imanaga is very much in the Rookie of the Year race in the NL. He's playing out of his mind right now. Unfortunately, they had some injuries that kind of cost them a little bit. The starting rotation got a little screwed up because Justin Steele got hurt early. But at the same time, they had Michael Busch have 5 home runs in 5 games. They have a lot of good guys in their lineup that are producing lately, and that's why I got them at number 8 in the power rankings. You can't go wrong with the Chicago Cubs. They're playing out of their minds. They were always a team that was right on the cusp, as they were in the playoff race last year. And this year, I think they very well can make another run and compete in that NL Central because it's such an up-for-grabs race. At number 7, speaking of NL Central, I have down one from last week, the Milwaukee Brewers, 11-6. They were 3-3 since the last rankings, 6-4 in the last 10. They took 2 of 3 from the Orioles. They were going up against the team they traded Corbin Burns to and took 2 of 3 from them. So, I mean, that's super impressive. 1 of 3 from the Padres. The Padres have also gotten hot, but their record's kind of shaky, so I couldn't really justify putting them in. However, I feel like the Milwaukee Brewers are still a top 10 team. They're still playing good baseball. They just beat the Orioles, who I have much higher up in the rankings because they're also on fire. So I think it's really impressive that they beat up on them. The young guys are coming through. Pat Murphy's been a great manager so far. And they're an exciting team to watch. And they're definitely, along with the Cubs, obviously, we'll see what happens with the Reds. The Pirates are such a shaky team. 1 week we have them in, the next week they don't even make it. So it's such a tricky division because you never really know if anybody's out of it or if anybody's in it at any point. I mean, the Cardinals are also not looking so great so far. So right now I think the Brewers are definitely the team to beat in that division, but it's the Craig Council versus the Pat Murphy show right now in the NL Central, and it's really exciting to watch. I got the Brewers in at number 7. In at number 6, up 3 from last week, I got the Philadelphia Phillies, 11-8, 4-2 since the last ranking, 7-3 in the last 10. They split with the Pirates, and they swept the Rockies. The Rockies are obviously a down-on-their-luck team. I don't really know what to make of them anymore. But speaking of the Phillies, they've been red hot. They've been really good lately. Bryce Harper's gotten off the schneid. Kyle Schwarber hit his 250th home run yesterday, so he's playing out of his mind. Ranger Suarez had the first shutout of the season, of course, followed up by Tanner Houck the other day. But the Phillies are red hot. They're playing out of their minds. Everybody knows that the Phillies are going to be competitive. I know last year I was pretending like they weren't that good of a team, and then obviously they go on their annual postseason run. I would not be shocked at all if they went on another postseason run this year. They're a team that's just built to, you know, hide in the weeds for most of the year and then come out swinging in the playoffs. And this year doesn't look any different. So I got the Phillies in at number 6. Down 4, they were the number 1 team last week. They've started to hit the schneid. They've started to, you know, struggle a little bit. I know we had Joe Kelly on The Godfather, and he was saying, you know, regardless of if we lose a couple games, we know we're going to win again. And I am by no means saying that this team is ever going to struggle for long. This is merely a weak stretch. I'm judging it week to week, so I gotta put them down if they have a bad week. Granted, at the end of the year, they're probably going to have 100 wins and be doing just fine. With that being said, the Los Angeles Dodgers, down 4 from last week, are in at number 5, 12-9, 2-4 since last rankings, 4-6 in the last 10. They took 1 of 3 from the Padres, 1 of 3 from the Nationals. So that's just not a great stretch there. You got a rivalry against the Padres. You got your starting catcher saying that a player on the other team's irrelevant. That player then goes ham the next game. He can't be having that. That's just not great. The starting pitching has absolutely stunk. Going into the season, we're like, man, they got Glass now. They got Yamamoto. They got so much depth. They got Bobby Miller. They got James Paxton. They could have Kershaw. They got all these guys, and all these guys have either been hurt or they've stunk so far. So that's the one thing that the Dodgers need to do, is they need to get their starting pitching better. They need to get Bobby Miller healthy. They need to get Yamamoto pitching up to his contract, because so far he has not done that whatsoever. They need to get James Paxton pitching well. They need to get everybody pitching well. Because if your starting rotation stinks, it doesn't matter how many runs your offense scores. It's not going to matter. So unfortunately, this week, the Dodgers, I've bumped them down to number 5. They probably won't be there for long. I'll be eating my words all next week, because I'm sure they'll be back at number 1 next week, because we know how this team operates. As of right now, April 19th, 2024, I had to move the Dodgers down to number 5 on my power rankings. In at number 4, down 2 from last week. Granted, these two teams moved down because three other teams just performed so much better than them this week that it was unfair to keep them that high and not give these other teams their shine. With that being said, the team that moved down 2 from last week was at number 2 last week. Now they're at number 4, is the New York Yankees. 13-6, 3-3 since the last ring, and 6-4 in the last 10. So that, on paper, does not look bad at all. They took 2 of 3 from the Guardians, which are ranked higher than them right now, and the Guardians are on a high and have one of the best records in the league. But then they almost got swept by the Blue Jays. Granted, they managed to grab the last one in the last possible moment. But right now, the Yankees have had a little bit of a skid. You know, Giancarlo Stanton's just clogging up the bases and not allowing anybody to play their best game. You know, Trent Grisham's not looking great in the outfield. Alex Verdugo's not looking great in the outfield. The Yankees fans are just dying to get Jason Dominguez back so they can have Judge, Dominguez, and Soto in the outfield instead of this, you know, this plan that they thought was going to work out great, and so far it hasn't. I expect them to stay high in the power rankings for most of, if not the rest of the season. It's just this week, there were three teams that were playing out of their minds, and I couldn't put the Yankees up higher than them. At number three, we have the Baltimore Orioles, up one from last week. They're 5-2 since the last ranking, 7-3 in the last 10. They took 1 of 3 from the Brewers, as we've gone through before. You know, they played Corbin Burns' old team, and they really didn't show up. The Brewers are a very good team, so it's not like they're losing to the A's or to the Rockies here. But at the same time, you know, that was kind of a tough series. But then they came back without a shadow of a doubt and swept the Twins, another very good team who's not really playing up to expectations right now. They used everything they could out of that hydration station. They've been playing out of their minds. They put out that video. Everybody thought somebody was getting an extension. It turned out it was just Cal Ripken working on the field. So that was kind of an odd video. But regardless, we're still keeping them high in the rankings. We don't care about odd videos. It's okay. You know, your owner's a little quirky, but he's rich, so he might extend these guys anyway. So it's no big deal there. All right, so we got the Baltimore Orioles in at number three. In at number two is the team of the guy we just interviewed right before the power rankings came on. That is Chris Antonetti. That is the Cleveland Guardians, up three from last week. They were at number five. Now they're at number two, 13-6, 4-3 since the last ranking, 6-4 in the last 10. They took 1 of 3 from the Yankees, but they took 3 of 4 from the Red Sox. And I get that the Red Sox cannot seem to have an errorless game right now. It's rough times in Boston. I get if you're listening to this, you're most likely a Red Sox fan. And if you aren't, welcome to the show. But we have a lot of Red Sox fans who listen to this show regularly. And it's rough times in Boston. I'm not going to lie to you. At the same time, as we had rescreen on before, I get the times are tough right now. But you guys have won pretty much more than any other franchise since 2000, since I've been born. So it's hard to feel sorry for you in the grand scheme of things. But at the same time, it does stink. I don't like seeing the Red Sox not be competitive. It's much more fun when the Red Sox and Yankees are dueling it out and they're both at the top of that division, along with the Rays and along with the Orioles and along with the Blue Jays. But right now, it's a little rough times with the Red Sox. Everybody's kind of beating up on them. And the Cleveland Guardians took full advantage of that. And that's why they took 3 of 4. And that's why they bumped up to number 2 in my power rankings. And that's why it's great times in Cleveland right now, because they have number one pick in the draft. They can either get Travis Bazzano, they can get Charlie Condon, you know, they can get Braden Montgomery, they can get Nick Kurtz. You know, we've had three of those guys on the podcast. They're all great guys. They'd all be great picks. And Cleveland's just soaking it in right now, because this is probably the best they'll ever get as a Cleveland sports fan, especially in baseball. However, with that being said, if you haven't guessed it already, yet again, one more time, just as Bradfoe had in his week one rankings, the Atlanta Braves are the number one team in producer Evan's power rankings, up 2 from number 3 last week. They went 5-1 since the last ranking, 7-3 in the last 10. They're 12-5 in the season. They took 2 of 3 from the Marlins, who were, I mean, they should have kept Kimming, and they should have, you know, extended Skip Schumacher's contract and not just had him opt out after this year, because that team is in shambles. We feel bad for friend of the program, Jake Berger. He went from one kind of shit show to another shit show, and it's unfortunate because I, you know, as an NL East guy, I want the Mets to at least be the number 3 team in the division, so I don't mind the Marlins failing, but at the same time, they were such a fun team last year, and I was so excited to see them make a run in the postseason. Obviously, it didn't happen because they ran into the buzzsaw in Philadelphia. It just stinks to see, you know, how bad they've gone down. The Braves capitalized on that and took 2 of 3 from them. And then the Braves proceeded to sweep the Houston Astros, another team that I think America is probably excited that they're seeing the downfall of, but another team that's just lacking starting pitching. I mean, besides Ronel Blanco, they have nobody that's healthy and nobody that's good. So it's kind of a shit show. Josh Hader's not performing up to expectations. Ryan Presley's not performing up to expectations. Jose Abreu's not performing up to expectations. So it's kind of a shit show in Houston. But with that being said, the Braves took advantage of that, and they made sure that the Astros didn't get any wins against them. And as always, I mean, the Braves are inevitable. They're much like the Dodgers. The NL has 2 inevitabilities at the top of the league. I mean, the Braves and the Dodgers, it's like, yeah, they might struggle. Yeah, they might move up and down the power rankings. But at the end of the day, they're never going to probably be outside the top 10 unless they completely fall apart, because they're teams where it's like, one, you know, halfway into the season, you're like, oh man, the Dodgers are really struggling this year. And then at the end of the year, you look back and you're like, oh man, you know, if you hadn't paid attention, or maybe you're a casual fan, you're like, oh, I wonder how these teams are doing. They both have 100 wins and they're both the 1-2 seeds and have buys in the playoffs. So those two teams you really don't have to worry about. It's kind of inevitable. The power rankings at the top has gotten probably a little boring. People might even tune out after, you know, the fourth, you know, team in the power rankings, because like we all know that it's going to be Dodgers, Braves, and probably the Orioles in the top four. And I get that, but they're just they're hard to ignore. And yeah, that's why I couldn't leave them out of the power rankings. But anyway, top 10, we got number one, the Braves, number two, the Guardians, number three, the Orioles, number four, the Yankees, number five, the Dodgers, number six, the Phillies, number seven, the Brewers, number eight, the Cubs, number nine, the New York Mets, and number 10, the Kansas City Royals. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I'll catch you next week.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.